Negroni Zone Radio, the award-winning view and interview show. Our website is jrdonline.com. Our email is jeff.roney@gmail.com. If you want to leave us a voicemail, call us at 714-929-7857. We're on Twitter. We're also on Facebook. So stay connected to us and on with the show. Well, thanks for coming back to part two of our interview with Radio Jen. She's a great gal, and we're going to dive in right where we left off. Here we go.
Rock music, music that has lyrics that aren't necessarily pleasing to God. Why not? Why can't Christians take that back?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we take a song that maybe is meant to be a love song and sing it to Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are so many things out there. You mentioned earlier about reaching into the fire. We did one time. We did Garth Brooks standing outside the fire in church on a Sunday morning and talking about how, you know, why do you stand outside the fire? Go in there and get, you know, sometimes you have to get burned. People are messy.
Mm-hmm.
When you work with people, it's a messy thing. And sometimes you get burned. But what do you get for it in the long run? Sometimes it's through, like, I mean, Twitter is a big thing right now. And there are a lot of churches that I've read about who are actually starting to ask their members to tweet stuff that's important to them.
Mm-hmm.
Bring out, you know, bring out your iPhone or your BlackBerry and tweet what you just heard that's so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you continue to, you know, live in the world but not of it, know what's out there and know how you can use it for yourself. I remember when MySpace first started to get under scrutiny, a lot of churches were saying, you know, you shouldn't do this. There's bad people on there. Well, okay, but who's going to reach them?
Right.
So you're saying I shouldn't have a MySpace account or a Facebook account because there are bad people on there saying bad things. I actually met a girl on Twitter recently who is a Christian, and when she found out that I was in Singapore, she said, you know what, I've got a friend in Singapore, and I would really love it if you could reach him.
Hmm.
And so I found him on Facebook, and I friended him, and we've been talking, and it's just amazing how small the world is with these tools. They don't have to be Satan's tools. They can be God's tools, too. It's just how you use them.
Hmm.
It's like money. You know, the love of money is, you know, what's evil. It's not money itself. And Facebook and MySpace and these other social networking tools are not bad. It's what you do with them.
Right.
And I think if you use them for God and you can use them on a Sunday morning, then I think that you can just do amazing things with them.
Well, and I've been, you know, I've been preaching this same sermon for a long time, is if this is the last days, and that that parable that Jesus told about the king with the banquet, that there were different waves. Go out and invite my family. Go out and invite my servants. And then when no one came, he said, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. I think the sky's the limit. We can use anything we want. Skywrite, flags, it doesn't matter. Anything is doable. And if it's Facebook, for heaven's sake, use Facebook. Be a light. Reach people. Do the best you can. Show God's love, even on Twitter in 140 characters. Do what you can, you know, to connect with people. Because there's a lot of people that aren't going to church, but they'll read a Twitter feed. And it's really exciting to see the church finally waking up out of this slumber of we've got it all locked up in our nice little church. You got to come to church to meet God. God's here. God's in. No, wait for this. God's on the internet. He will use anything to get people's hearts because they've been broken and messed up by whatever. So I think we live in an exciting time. I think it's kind of like a ball team that's ahead. I remember hearing this from the coach when I was on a baseball team. Everybody hits, and that I think that's what God's saying. Everybody's in. Everybody. So it's really cool. So it's exciting to hear all the different things that you're doing using Twitter, Facebook, and, you know, like you said, it's been kind of maligned for so long by the church. Just, you know, here are our rules, and you got to stay away from here, and here. Just use your head. It's like a car. I mean, you can get in an accident. You just got to use your head and be careful. So,
right.
I want to talk about something. You have a wonderful family, and you are a stepmom.
Yes, I am.
And go ahead.
Teenagers.
Yes, the teenagers. So extra prayers for you. And
I sometimes try to put my stepson up for sale on Twitter, but nobody ever bites.
Okay. I see. See, there's a lot of uses for Twitter. In 2009, it's just there's so many different things. There's so many different little shiny objects to, you know, kind of get kids' attention. What's it like to be a stepmom? Is it easier? Is it more difficult? I think step parents have kind of a difficult time sometimes because they're not the mom, they're not the dad. How's it been right. for you?
You know, I have nothing to compare it to because I've never had kids of my own. Mm-hmm. When my husband and I first got married, I was 29, and I knew that he had kids from his previous marriage. And I figured we'd see the kids every other weekend and, you know, maybe on holidays or a couple of weeks in the summer. But through a string of circumstances, we ended up with custody of the kids. Mm-hmm. And they don't really have much of a relationship with their biological mom. She lives in Wisconsin in the U.S. Mm-hmm. But I've had them. They came to live with us. My daughter had just turned 6, and my son was 8 and a half. And they, you know, now they're 13 and 16. My daughter's almost 14. She'll be 14 in September. Hmm. So they've lived with us a really long time. I've never used the term step. I mean, although I am their stepmom, I sometimes forget. My daughter, sweetheart that she is, when she was 9 years old, wrote an essay and won a contest. I was named Mother of the Year in Baton Rouge, Louisiana through her essay. Hmm. Honestly, I think that when we first got custody of the kids, I told my husband, I don't know how to do this. I've never had babies. I didn't even have like a little baby brother or a little baby sister. I mean, it was just, I've never been around kids that much. So we took a class called Growing Kids God's Way at our church. So Gary and Ann Mariezzo wrote the program. And I honestly have to say, through that program, everything just was amazing. Besides the fact that they're just wonderful kids. I mean, I teased about putting my son for sale up on Twitter. I mean, he's 16. I think every parent feels like, what can I do?
Sure.
But honestly, you know, I think if I had to share the kids and every other weekend and with holidays, that'd be really tough for me because they're my kids.
Yeah.
I can't imagine ever not having them. You know, I mean, there are challenges we face. But honestly, the biggest challenge that I've faced to this point with my children that other parents, you know, who were natural-born parents have not faced is when we first moved to Japan, I had to get my daughter's passport, and we had to try to find her biological mother to get her to sign it.
Hmm.
Everything else has been a piece of cake. I mean, yeah, we've dealt with the same things parents deal with, kids, you know, teenagers sneaking out of the house, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But honestly... Yeah. You know, I've got amazing kids who love church, they love God, they love the church, they love God's people, and they love me like I am. They love me. I mean, every kid wants their mom to be the best mom in the world. So I think they struggled a little while when their biological mom didn't fit that bill. But I was able to lead the kids to Christ, and that was the most amazing thing ever.
Wow.
To lead anybody to Christ is a great feeling.
Sure, sure.
But when it's your kids, it's just a special feeling that you get. And just talking about it now, as many years ago as it was, I still get these chills down my spine.
Mm-hmm.
They're amazing kids. And I can't say that it's not an easy job, any parent, but, you know, I think God's got to be in control of that relationship for it to work the best way.
Well, I think just kind of what I've gathered here and there and just little bits is the difficulty that I think when we were kids or I was kids back in the olden days when TV was black and white. Do you remember that? I don't think you remember that. That's okay.
We drove stories.
Yeah, we drove around in covered wagons. I watched Star Trek, and I didn't believe that some women were green because I was in all black and white. Anyway, I'll pause so you can laugh. You know, what I really enjoy is you have fun with your kids, And I think when we were growing up, my parents, Adam and Eve, they had this kind of, they had this certain role that they had to play, of, you know, leave it to Beaver, mom and dad. And they had to kind of meet this criteria. And there was this kind of list of the way you looked and dressed and act and said and talked and all this. And, you know, it's kind of real serious. But it seems like you have just a lot of fun with your kids. And I think that's really cool. So,
and I think being able to give them this opportunity to live overseas, we actually homeschool or do distance learning through a program in Ojai, California, through Laurel Springs School. But I think being able to give them this experience, and we get to go out and do things together. A lot of parents don't get to do with their kids. You know, my kids get up at 8 and do schoolwork, and they're done by noon, and then we can go check out, you know, check out Chinese Garden or look at some of the different sites around here and do some traveling. And that does help to have fun with them and to get to know them as people, not just as your kids, but as people. Because as they get older, their likes change and they start to have opinions on things. And I think it's important to know what they are. We play a game at the table. Every week I ask my kids to name something that's happened to each of us during the week. Hmm. You know, name something that happened to Daddy, to me, to your brother or sister. And it forces us to pay attention to each other, even if it's just, oh, well, Daddy had an incident at work this week where a guy broke his leg, and he had to, my husband's a safety guy. Or, you know, if it's my son says, oh, well, talking about his sister, he might say, she got an A on her math assignment. Those kind of things. I think it forces us to pay attention to each other, and I think that's important for a family to be able to, you know, grow together. You have to know what's going on in each other's lives.
That's really neat. I think it's a rare time when a family can, you know, have a meal together. So anyway, kudos to you. And me and my wife have something in common, and I'll explain what it is. There's probably the lottery calling me right now. I'm busy right now. I'm on the phone with Jen. Please call back.
It might be my mom.
Say,
she's my biggest fan. Yeah.
Hold on, Mom. I'll call you back. But we love dogs, but at this point right now, we do not have dogs. So let me describe what me and my wife do. And we're probably nuttier than a fruitcake. And people already knew that about me. So here are my wife and I driving down the street, wind's blowing. There's a dog on the side of the road. Like, oh, so cute. Look at that dog. Oh, man. We don't have a dog. We used to have a dog. The dog was a lovely long-haired dachshund dog. It's gone on to meet his maker. But we love dogs, and everyone gets sick of us. You know, talking to the dogs outside the window, and they say, Jeff, you need to get a dog. And I go, well, we're not home enough to take care of the dogs. Like, oh, you're driving us crazy. So anyway, you're a dog person. Do you experience the same type of things or a little different? Or,
you know what? I believe that dog is God spelled backwards for a reason.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
I really love dogs. I had three in the U.S., three poodles, actually. All of them adopted from a rescue, and I wanted to bring them with me, but there's so much to go through when you bring them overseas, aside from the traumatic, you know, trip, the long flight, and one of them was epileptic, one of them was diabetic, the other one didn't have any serious health issues, he could have flown, but I didn't want to separate them.
Mm-hmm.
Besides from that, it was a huge expense of getting them quarantined, but I actually used to have my dogs talk to each other. And my kids would say, Mom, make the dogs talk. And if they were all sitting around each other begging for food or something, I actually gave them all a voice and told everybody what they were saying. And so that was, you talk about being nuttier than a fruitcake.
Uh-huh.
That's me.
Okay.
I always told my husband I was practicing my voiceovers for my days and, you know, hoping for animation project or something, giving the dogs voices. But, I am a huge dog lover. My neighbors used to tell me that when they died, they wanted to come back as my dog because it got its teeth cleaned at the dentist. It had, you know, went to the beauty shop. They had a wardrobe.
Wow.
I was one of those ladies.
Well, one more quick story is, I'm in the other side of the house, or I'm here in the office doing some editing or something, and I'll hear, "Honey," from the other side of the house or in another room. And she goes, "Come here, come here." And I'm looking in there. And every time we spot a dachshund dog anywhere, in any show, in a commercial, it's like, "I have it paused. Hold on," you know. And so it's just, we love the dachshund dogs. And I have this theory that, no offense to poodles, but the dachshund dog is just the cutest dog in the world. And we're taking over just one commercial at a time. So, you know, one day we're just going to take over. But anyway, poodles will have a good role in too. So anyway.
I'm sure they will.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about, you kind of mentioned it there, and let's just kind of dive in. You're a voiceover person.
Yes. I did radio for a long time. I went to college for radio, to the University of Florida in Gainesville. And I've worked probably every format you can imagine except rap, and I've worked every day part that you can imagine. When my kids were really young, right after my husband and I got married and we got custody, I was getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and driving off to the radio station. I had a morning show that started at 5:30. I was also the program director, so I was gone all day long. I'd be on the air at 5:30 and maybe not get home till 5:30 p.m., And then, of course, on the weekends, you have those live broadcasts from the car dealership, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
My husband went to work early, so in the morning we had to have a babysitter get the kids off to school. I hated that for them. I hated that they'd been through kind of a traumatic experience, before they came to live with us full time. And I thought, you know, these kids have been through so much. They need a mom to get them off to school in the morning. So I left my job. And I stayed home and got the kids off to school. Well, my husband said, he knew that I loved radio and that I love, what I do. I've been doing it for so long. And he and my dad built me a studio at home. And so I started doing what they call voice tracking, which, oh boy, big radio secret going out here. Radio stations don't always have a live disc jockey in the room.
Okay.
Sometimes that disc jockey you're listening to in California is actually probably in their pajamas and recorded that show a week ago from their home in Vermont.
Wow.
And so that's what I started doing because one company came in, Clear Channel came in and bought a bunch of radio stations. And when they did that, they spent a lot of money and they couldn't afford to staff all of them. And so that's kind of when it started to become very popular. They started hiring people to do it from home. They came up with an automated system. Now, there are still a lot of live morning shows, but and not just mornings, but mostly other day parts. You know, when a morning show is not live, typically it's satellite from another place. But a lot of other day parts are just automated. And so I started doing that. I started recording, and then I started getting offers for other things. So I've done, voiceovers for TV commercials and radio commercials and telephone on hold, web buttons. You know, if you've ever been to a website and it's, welcome to whatever.com. I do an intro for a podcast for someone I actually met on Twitter. I've done announcements for concerts, pre-recorded announcements, corporate video, independent book on tape I've done a project for. But it's kind of a tough business. I'd love to do animation, cartoons, but now you're starting to hear a lot of, Julia Roberts and Tom Selleck and Ellen DeGeneres and a lot of those big names because Hollywood is not immune to the recession. And a lot of really big names in Hollywood have started doing voiceovers because they can get any job they want.
Right.
And so, a lot of the stuff that I do is more local stuff. And I'm hoping here in Singapore to be able to use that. To be able to maybe record some of the English translations, because a lot of stuff here is in Chinese. So I'd like to be able to record the English translations. I've been working with a voice coach, and I went to a big voiceover seminar in West Palm Beach back in February, and I've been, I've done radio for a long time, but radio and voiceover are not really the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to kind of hone my skills in voiceover and maybe do some big things with that.
I'm going to geek out for just a bit. Do you have an ISDN line?
I do not. It's okay. So expensive in Singapore to do that. There are ISDN studios here. I have a phone patch where I can, I haven't hooked it up yet. Actually, we just found it the other day. They don't have Radio Shack here or anything like that. So it's kind of hard sometimes to find the technical stuff that you want. But I use my MacBook Pro. I have GarageBand software on there. Okay. I've got an Apogee Duet audio interface, a Samson CO3 mic, a pop filter, and that's what I travel with. It's very small and, you know, it fits in my carry-on, so it's easy to take anywhere I go.
Do you go through, was it Voice123, Voices.com, or do you just kind of set up your own rates yourself?
Well, I do have an account on Voices123.
Okay.
I have not signed up with Voices.com yet. You know, because everything that I've done, when I first left home to do the voiceover thing, every job that I didn't go out and find one job. Every single one of them came to me. And I go back to the God. I really feel like it was a big God thing that I left my job to honor my role as a mother. And I feel like God honored that. And every job I've ever gotten came to me. So I never really did a whole lot with marketing myself. So that's kind of new. That was one of the reasons I went to West Palm Beach to that voiceover boot camp that I went to. Susan Berkeley teaches. It's an amazing, you know, opportunity for anybody who is interested in voiceovers. That she taught her marketing plan there, and I've learned so much from her in marketing myself. I have a website, and I use it a little bit, but I guess right now, because a lot of the voiceovers that I want to do, where the decent money in voiceovers is, a lot of times they want you to come in an audition. They don't want an online audition, or they want you to come in so they can direct you, which is where ISDN comes in very handy.
Right.
Very few of them will allow you to use a phone patch when they want to give you direction. So that's why I'm mostly focusing on local stuff in Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
When I get back to the U.S., whenever that is, I'll probably end up, you know, getting an agent and trying to book some jobs that way. But, you know, you can't really rely on an agent. You can't really rely on any one tool to do all your marketing. You know, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket for anything, and I think voiceovers is definitely the same thing.
Well, I from my perspective, I do audio dramas and podcasting, of course, and different things. The reason I like the whole audio aspect is it's global, and you don't have to fly anywhere. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to come together. People can use their whatever they've got to provide you with what you need. And, you know, I think that, you know, the setup that you've got right now is going to become more and more important because people don't want to fly anyone anywhere. And I think it's going to shift your way. I think people that are good to work with, easy to work with, have quality voices, which you do, it's going to work. It's going to work in your favor. And I think the old style of, you know, I want to look someone in the face. Ah, come on now. You know,
yeah.
Gas and airfare, you know, paying for water on a flight. Now, come on now. So I think we're going to see just this massive change. And it's the old guard changing with the new guard. It's going to take some time. But, you know, I think the folks that have really kind of focused on, you know, voiceover, that's what I'm good at. You know, I do audio dramas, but I really do love doing interviews. I think it's great. You know, and I've known people who are in traditional radio. And I watched a guy, you just kind of slave to the clock and you have to do your PSA at a certain point and you have to watch the clock. And I'm like, I don't want to do that.
It's very rigid.
Oh, man. But, Jen, this has just been fantastic to talk to you.
I've had a lot of fun.
You are my first person in Singapore that I've ever talked to. Now,
and see, the time difference didn't make it too tough after all, did it?
No. You're in the morning there, and I'm kind of coming into my evening. So, no, this is perfect.
Yeah.
But I wish you and your husband and your wonderful family just great success with God and in the church that you're working with, you know. And I'm going to be praying for you that God just really uses you guys to, you know, take care of the hurting over there, and you know, also kind of reach through Twitter to take care of the hurting, you know, all over the world, because you know it's just that's what's in the world. It's just a bunch of hurting folks. So,
yeah, I appreciate that.
You know, I just, I thank you for your time, and, let's see, you know, definitely you can get in touch with Jen if you, you know, have a animation or any type of thing. Definitely get in touch with her. And if you could just, you know, we can, you can send me the link to your website and all this kind of stuff, and I can provide that, in the show notes. So, anyway, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it, Jen.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. That's the conclusion of our interview with Radio Jen, and I just want to thank her and you. And we will bring you something really cool next time, so be sure that you join us here at Ronin's Honor. Here's just a quick reminder that if you want to continue to get these Ronies on Radio shows directly sent to either your Google Reader or your iTunes or whatever you use to listen to podcasts, please visit subscribe.roniezone.com, and it's going to give you links and instructions of how to get subscribed and get connected to us so we can send you shows automatically. Thanks so much. Everything costs money, and we want to offer this to you. It's a support page, support.roniezone.com. There's two ways that we would ask that you would help support us. One is just a PayPal link, and you can donate any amount you'd like through PayPal. The other way is to buy products from our other links to affiliates that we offer on that page as well. We really appreciate it. Everything costs money. And we want to continue to keep these shows free, so we offer this to you. Please visit our support.roniezone.com page to help support us. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. There is no way we can do what we do on our own. So we often play promos and things like that, and we want you to check out these promos, but also take a second and check out these shows if they really seem interesting to you. We really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Hello, this is Steve.
And this is Dave.
And this is Mikey.
Join the Ways of Tech crew as we explore technology in today's society.
Information and discussions on blogging, computer tips, social media, entertainment, product reviews, sports, and tech news.
So join us. It's all there at wavesoftech.com. TheAbsolutePeach.com.
Is your nickname or is it not Young Sleazy?
No.
Let's stick to the facts. Yes or no?
No.
Yes. Well, facts. Okay, we've already established it is, so
but it isn't.
So he's going back on himself.
But I just don't think it's valid.
Well, okay, let's present the case. Are you or are you not what one might call a smooth operator?
No.
Okay, there was hesitation there. So not only is he lying, but he's also extremely arrogant.
No.
Are you or are you not Young Sleazy? I ask you again. I will keep asking this until you say yes, I am. Are you or are you not a womanizer?
Thank you for listening to Ronnie's Own Radio. Please visit our website at jrdonline.com. Ronnie's Own Radio is a proud member of the Christian New Media Group. You can find more information at cnmg.roniezone.com. And drop us an email at jeff.roni@gmail.com. Thank you very much, and see you next time on Ronnie's Own Radio.